Welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
Good, Jason. Thanks, man. How are you?
Good. Now, I love the fact that even your mother calls you Sliver now. I was like, so should we introduce you by your real name? He's like, no, no one calls me by my real name. So even your mom, for anybody listening, mom, this is what Sliv said, so we'll go by Sliver, although we know your birth name is Chris.
Yep.
But tell me about when you, like, how you got you know, your first gig with the Otters.
Dad used to work for Northlands, where he got to know Staffy and Sparky really well. Brought me into the locker room when I was 6, 7 years old, and they try and keep me out of the way. So to keep me out of the way, they told me to go help Mosser. So I'd walk into the main room. The guys were out on practice already, and Joey's telling me pick up tape balls, pick up towels, hang things up, and he was bossing me around from day one.
You know, and you basically grew up literally, well, you know, in life, but you know, working for the Edmonton Oilers and interacting very closely with Joey Moss. It, yeah, man. What was one of the best lessons you learned from Joe?
Best lesson from Joe: stand up for yourself right away. That guy did not take any flack from anybody, no matter their stature. He was amazing. Yeah, he taught so many great lessons, and he was the best, Boss Moss.
Boss Moss.
Yeah.
Now, so you were there for an early age, and you know, the wrestling.
Yeah.
Where did that come about?
Well, he'd been doing it for a few years before I kind of got into it with him. But after I was there full time, I think I was part of the first sanctioned match with him. I came across the room one day, and he gave me a shove and squared up on me, and I was like, okay, it's wrestling time. And for some reason, Staffy, you can almost blame Barry Stafford for making this thing accelerate the way it did. Staffy came running out from the equipment room and started doing the pin count. And I had Joe pinned, and he stuck his leg up in the air on the imaginary rope. So I had to let him up, and then he flipped me over and he pinned me, and then that was the first real championship match.
Oh, like, were you some? Because I've heard that Joey was very strong.
Oh,
and Gretz told us yesterday that he was, you know, was actually a pretty good athlete, and you know, guys, like, when they wrestled him, like, he was quick too,
very, very fast. And you know what? His size helped. He could really squirm away. Along with being strong, like, he was smaller than the rest of us, and he could just really get out from under you, and all of a sudden he's on your back. You just had nowhere to go.
Like, Joe was such a character that he became one of the bigger personalities in the room. You know, the hot tub or maybe the cold tub dips. I know with the Esks, he used to go in there, you know, and jump in the cold tub. And he kind of liked it, and then he would jump into the hot tub to warm up. But he'd be in the cold tub, and the guys just loved it because he did it for luck when they needed a big win. What did he do for the Oilers?
He did the same for us. We called it walking the plank. If you were new to the team, you had front row seats to the show. Joe would come walking through the room and ripping his clothes off and swinging them over his head, and he'd jump into that cold tub to a big, big cheer, and he would stay in there until the boys told him to get out, and then he'd jump in the hot tub, and then he got a nice cold beer as a reward and a thank you, and he always did that for us to break the streak, and he was nonstop entertainment. He did whatever the team needed from him. He was 100% Oiler and Edmonton football team guy.
Sliver Delory joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260 talking about Joe Moss. Now, what about the, you know, Gretzky and Sparky phone calls from Mosser?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't actually Gretz on the line. We set Joe up. There'd be someone on the other line pretending to be Gretz. And it was a way for Spark to flex his muscle. And Joe respected Sparky a lot. And it eventually would succumb to Joe having to hang up on Wayne. And he would, before he'd hang up, though, he'd tell him how much he loved him, and then he'd hang up and say, okay, Spark, what do you need?
So you'd have some pretending that he was talking to Wayne, but Sparky would come in and say, I need you to do work?
Yeah. It was a tug-of-war. It was a tug-of-war of power, and Sparky always won. Joey loves Spark just as much as Gretz. Yeah.
Now, one of the maybe the more infamous stories ever was when Daryl Duke and George LaRocque had a little boxing thing. And now, for people who don't know, like obviously everybody knew George. Well, Daryl Duke was a Gold Glove boxer.
Yeah.
And was a strength coach of the Oilers, and they were having like what's supposed to be a fun boxing match that became a little bit more of a competition, shall we
say. Yeah, it was all set up by Slats. I think it was Kevin's only year as head coach. And Kev walks into the room, and we already had the ping pong table turned to create a square ring. And he asked what's going on. We said, Slats said it was okay. George and Doogie square up, and they start going. And George, started throwing real combos and caught Doogie a couple times. And you saw the switch go in Doogie's head, and he turned into, a professional boxer real quick. And like a scene from Rocky, they both wound up at one time. They both hit each other. They both hit the ground. Doogie's instincts, he stood right up. He's out on his feet, but he's up. And George, unfortunately, was on the ground. And Joey jumps through the crowd and starts giving George the standing 10 count. And so Mosser was the one that counted him out and made the match a win for Doogie.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Nobody cued him to do that. He just jumped out and started counting.
Oh. Well, because Joe, he was very diligent about his job, right? He took his job very seriously.
Yeah.
But, Matt, maybe the only thing he took more serious might have been wrestling.
It was nonstop. I actually got the unfortunate role of taking him to a few wrestling matches, and there was... We're leaving the event, the night's over, and I got, I used to be staff, so I parked on the ramp, and the team's out of town, so that's why Joe and I went. And we're walking out to my car, and there's still fans all around the ramp waiting to see the wrestlers, and they start chanting Joey. And they said, it's getting louder, and I go, come on, Moss, let's go. And when I look around and say, come on, Moss, he's got both hands up in the air doing like a presidential wave to everybody, soaking it up. And then I finally got him in the car and we got out of there. He just, everything about wrestling, from the fans, they loved him there, to the wrestling event itself, he was just all in.
And, Joe was also, he was very reliable. Because were you not the guy who had to pick, as you got older, because you started there when you were 7, but once you were old enough to drive, weren't you one of the guys who picked him up every day for work?
Yeah, so Spark started that a little while before because they didn't like him riding the bus after a while. And then it landed on me because I lived a couple blocks away. And eventually just rolled through everybody. Everybody eventually became like Joe's chauffeur, as he deserved it. But if you pulled up at the house, your car is not even coming to a stop yet, and out the door. And Sophie's there waving at you too. Mom is waving at him, and you drop him off, and same thing. Sophie, no matter how late it was at the door waiting for Joe to also come home. Like, they were, like, I think everybody spoke about how scheduled and steady he was. He had everything down to the minute in his life. He was very, very detailed.
Sliver DeLory joins us. A long time I worked in the equipment room with the Edmonton Oilers. And Sliv, maybe we don't talk enough about Joey's mom.
Oh.
Sophie, she had 13 kids, so she's a saint to begin with, right? And Joey's dad had passed away, correct?
Yeah, I was never fortunate enough to meet Mr. Moss. Yeah.
Okay. And so she basically, was like, raised Joey and a lot of, and Steve and a lot of those kids, on her own. Just she must have, for Joey to come there and help with the Oilers, but he had a really good foundation from the Moss family before he ever came to the Oilers at 18 years of age.
Yeah. I mean, as long as Joe was around, Soph was around, you could always tell Joe, if you really wanted to get him to listen to you, you'd say, okay, well, let's call Sophie. And right away he'd queue up and just go, no, what do we need to do? Sophie was she was the rock. She was the foundation of that whole family. Stevie always came in and we'd always sit down and he'd tell me how Sophie was doing, and they're an amazing, amazing family.
Now Joe, he kept stats on road games. Is this correct?
Yeah, the binders. Yeah.
What kind of stats?
Goal scored, penalties. If he could, if he remembered it when the announcer said it, he'd sometimes do time on ice. He had like a Scrabble set with numbers that he would also put up. He'd lay down on the floor right in front of the TV. Like he'd sort of reverse it. He'd come over to your house when the team's on the road because I didn't travel all the time. So he'd lay down right in front of the TV with Big Mac and a cold beer and some fries, and out came the binders and the tiles, and he was writing out the lineups, and he's keeping track of goals scored, assists, and everything. I bet you he's got every game ever played on the road in his binders.
No way.
Yeah.
Man, I'd love to see those binders. That would be unreal. Now, who was there not a rookie who was taken aback the first time Joey sang or saw Joey sing La Bamba?
My favorite guy that I saw jaw drop was Alex Hemsky. He was brand new to the club, and, you know, English is his second language. He's just learning the world in Edmonton, and Joe came out doing La Bamba and did a high kick right in front of him. And he just didn't move after that. The hammer froze, and actual jaw wide open, and just could not believe the show that was being put on in front of him. And, of course, the room just erupted. Like, the guy's a rock star.
The whole Moss family were performers, right? So we obviously, yeah. I think he kind of came by it naturally watching all of his siblings perform. And they had a band, Vicky and, you know, everybody else, and they traveled around. So he kind of grew up in that atmosphere where he was just like, hey, you know what? I'm a performer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had their 13 kids and plus traveling around northern Alberta in a big bus, I think. And they would just, yeah. And Joe was right in there. He was very super musical. He serenaded me many, many times driving him back to the house with some James Bond tunes.
And Strutty was telling us yesterday how, you know, at times, you know, Strutty, and he jokes, he goes, man, like, trust me, I can speak on experience. I'm not the most, you know, clear-spoken guy. He said sometimes he didn't pick up every word Joe was saying. But when Joey sang, all of a sudden, like, you could understand everything clear as day. Like, he was a great singer.
He was a really good singer. And I'll counter Strutty a little bit. I mean, I grew up with Boss Moss, and I could understand every word he said. I was fortunate enough to know what he was trying to say and how he was saying it. And but you're right, he is very right. Like, when it came to singing, he was clear as a bell. Yeah, and I swear he even knew some of the Spanish in La Bamba. He was nailing it.
That's so outstanding. Now, the Joey Moss Cup became a real big thing, right? And guys would get competitive. Right? Did Joe not have to separate Marchand and Doug Waite one time?
He didn't separate. Joe was the commissioner.
Okay.
But Dougie Waite was on one bench and Todd's on the other. And, like, I mean, this thing went from Sparky and I finding a trophy in the back room and putting a white piece of tape that's a Joey Moss Cup to, like, the building being sold out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And there was a match, and like the guys really, really wanted to win the Joe Moss Cup because everybody wanted the photo on the ice with the commissioner.
Yeah.
And the finals match was really heated, and Dougie and Todd really were chirping pretty hard, and we had to be like, guys, come on, like, you're on the same team at the end of this game. But yeah, but Joe came out and gave them both big hugs, and after the game, and I think Doug took that championship that day.
Oh, so Todd, and Toddy was a competitor, right?
Oh,
and
Toddy was
you can't take the
fiery
competition out of the guys, so
no.
it's fantastic. Now, you mentioned the one great thing it seems with Joe was he I think it was Gretzky telling us the story how the only time he saw Joe nervous was when Sparky put him on a diet because he was worried that he might not get the hamburgers that he wanted because he liked hamburgers and cheeseburgers and, you know, beer and potatoes, but wasn't necessarily a big veggie guy, so Spark got him eating a little bit better. But, like, from Craig Simpson to so many others, when they had a Jason Smith, when Joe slept over, it was like, hey, he wants a big, you know, a burger and a beer.
Yeah.
And, man, like, I don't know if there was a guy who relished that first beer more than Joe Moss.
I can see him to this. I'm so happy I spent so much time with him because I can see his first crack of the can and the first sip every time. You nailed it. He loves that first sip of beer because he just knows the day is done too. He also knows, like, it's all over. I can relax. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to remember most about Joe? Like, he lived a phenomenal life, 57 years, you know, for 35 plus with the Oilers, and then of course with the Esks, and all he's done in the community, you know, for the Edmonton Down Syndrome Society and Uniquely Me, and then of course with the Winifred Stewart Association. What are you going to remember most about Joe?
That guy might have had a he might have had a bigger impact on me. Just being able to slow down and accept everybody. Yeah, I mean, Sparky said it yesterday. He made me a better person. I mean, I left the team and I went years without working with anybody with Down syndrome or special needs, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I started a fundraiser with Special Olympics Edmonton for a while, and before my travel took me out of the city so much. But he made every day better. I'm so lucky. Like I get to call him a friend. I got pictures of and memories with this guy that I'll never ever forget.
Slip, man, I really appreciate you taking some time today to give people a little bit more of just the character and the great man Joey Moss was. Thanks so much, bud.
Thanks, Jason. It's awesome being able to talk about him.